Well, let's find out. We've got Bruce Williamson, who's from the campaign group Rail Future. Bruce, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. Yeah, I'm lucky that I'm not commuting today.
I mean, they don't give you a day off, do they?
No, they don't. No, it's a busy time for us campaigners because there's always something to campaign about. There's always huge scope for improvement in the railways. And obviously, you know, figures like this, no surprise to us. We know it's been a torrid year for rail passengers, particularly with that sort of horrid timetable disruption which started in May.
Yeah.
So I think we're looking at 2019. We're starting from a very low base, so hopefully it shouldn't be hard to improve things a little.
But realistically, Bruce,
yeah,
what is going to change? Because, you know, it is still an aging network. It's seemingly a money pit. You know, I come into Waterloo five, six times a week. And after all of the disruption at the beginning of last year, in terms of them closing down 10 of their platforms for however long it was, it's still the same. They've reopened it. Nothing's changed. Those platforms that were supposed to have saved the whole of the Southeastern Railway network are still shut. You know, it's just, I don't understand what is going to have changed this year. What's going to get better?
Well, there is investment going on, and I suppose it's not usually big bang stuff that you sort of see and is obvious. But I mean, where you know, things are upgraded and improved, extra signals don't sound very glamorous, but they make the trains run more reliably and allow more trains to operate. Those former Eurostar platforms at Waterloo will allow more commuter trains. You know, they've tried to
open them two times now. And had to close them down again. And we say that we're investing in new signalling. We say that they're investing in new carriage and stuff. When are we going to start seeing a benefit? Because nothing is getting better yet.
Well, I don't think that's true. I mean, there are new trains being introduced on the Great Western, for instance. And this is the problem, I suppose. You know, you can't invest in the whole network at once in a big bang. So if you're not on a line that's got new trains, you don't see it. You probably don't notice the improvements that new signals bring. But I mean, you know, the key to the railway's ills, I mean, you mentioned yourself, you know, you're talking about a clapped out old railway. So this investment has to be long term and sustained.
Yeah.
And that's how we get the railway that we want. But I mean, there's no sort of magic bullet, no quick fix. But the railways, we're suffering from decades of underinvestment. And you know, sadly, commuters such as you every morning are paying the price for that.
No, I completely appreciate that. I don't think anyone expects an overnight kind of sensation. However, it's the unaccountability that infuriates most people. It's the fact that, you know, tell us when it's going to get better. You know, tell us that by 2025 they'll have invested in, I don't know, 200 new signals, that the network railway is guaranteed to have been improved by X percent. It's the unaccountability, and at the same time, as we see from these figures, the reliability is plummeting. It's costing us £100 a year more for our season tickets with no return on that investment, seemingly. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Oh, absolutely. You know, I totally get your frustration. And you know, I think, firstly, we have to aim our fire squarely at the politicians here. You know, the big investment decisions are all made by politicians. It's actually the Department for Transport that is micromanaging the franchisees. So, and again, that's in the hands of the politicians, and it's the politicians who can make things better if only we shout loud enough. But I mean, on the issue of fares, you know, after a horrible year on the railways, we're being punished by having to pay even more to travel on the railways, while fuel duty for motorists has been frozen for 8 years. So I don't know what the government's playing at. They seem to be punishing the rail traveller while sort of feather nesting the motorist.
That's absolutely what's going on, and that's why quite often I will choose to drive into central London over getting the train, because it's so unreliable. And we're talking to Jasmine about saving money. Why are the fares so expensive? That's a very simple question, but I want to know why are they, and they're constantly going up.
Comparatively against Europe and all the places that we often hear.
Yeah, particularly I went to Germany recently and I was astounded by how efficient and good value the railways were compared to here. So why are the prices so high?
It's very, again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. This is totally in the hands of government. It's a very clear government policy that they're going to try and, you know, increase in real terms the amount that passengers pay for the railway. It goes in with a sort of the conservative philosophy of sort of privatisation and everything should pay for itself and so on. And our European counterparts take a different view, and they look at the sort of wider value that the railway brings and say, well, it's worth subsidising. Because of the sort of social gain, it reduces congestion on the road. It's a cleaner, greener way of travelling. It's more efficient. You know, I, being a railway campaigner, I'll tell you how wonderful railways are. But, you know, there's lots of advantages of the railway that I think the government should be supporting, and supporting them by actually making them more affordable for ordinary people to use.
Abso-flippin-lutely. Bruce, thank you so much for coming on, mate. Appreciate you taking time out of the holiday season. It's Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future.